other stations promise outstanding content, but when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
The morning show that's on your side. But then again, so is appendicitis.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Charlotte, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Tuesday, March 18th. We're back with you. And
good
Charlotte
morning.
Says we had another shaker this morning.
I got woken up again. It wasn't as, I think it was 2.6, but...
You were woken up? What time was it?
It was like 8:35.
That's what I thought.
I woke up late today.
Oh, you were still sleeping?
Oh, wow. Excuse me.
but yeah, it was a little...
Yeah, that was about 8:30.
It was just one shake.
Yeah.
I was like...
I know. Yeah. And I wasn't sure it was one because... You know, I thought if it was one, it would go a little longer. So I thought maybe my neighbors like slammed their door or something,
right.
You know. But
no, my friend has the earthquake app.
Oh, so yeah?
Yeah, there's an earthquake app.
Oh,
there's
okay.
an app for everything.
Yeah.
But there's an earthquake app. And it said 2.6.
Wow.
Crazy.
I know. Who knows how many aftershocks are there that we don't even feel, you know?
Well, apparently there's always already been 10 this morning.
Really? Wow.
And I mean, I only felt one. But.
Yeah. No, many times you don't feel them because they're much weaker. But at the same time, you know, it's better, I think, when they're like the small aftershocks because it releases the pressure, I think, on the...
Hopefully.
Yeah. I know, but just imagine, I mean, you know, when the ground slips like that, you know, the effect of it, yeah, I mean, because it's the very ground we stand on, you know, and if that's unstable, what are you going to do?
I know, right? That's what we rely on, the one thing that is stable, the ground.
I know, as opposed to being on a plane,
right?
You know? Yeah.
And planes apparently get lost now. So
they do get lost. Yeah, I don't know.
Right?
I don't know. It's still at top of the news, you know. But
apparently, the phone lines of some of the passengers are still on.
Really?
So they're not. I mean, who knows? The phones are still ringing. Some of them. None
really?
Of them have been answered.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're probably in a lonely island there. You know, with,
I know, right?
With some animals and cannibals and stuff.
Seriously, scary.
So, Sarah Ashley did not come in this morning.
No,
she's still
didn't.
Asleep.
She's
you
still,
said,
yeah, she's still at home.
Okay, did you guys go to bed late or something? Or?
Like midnight, so not too bad. But we had a fun day for St. Patrick's Day.
Cool.
So,
did you guys go out and stuff?
Yeah, we actually stayed just around here.
Uh-huh.
I didn't want to be driving my car like leaving it. And
there's plenty of stuff right here.
Exactly.
You know, why go anywhere?
Yeah. So.
Yeah. Did you go to a cool place? Where did you go?
We went to the Oaks Tavern. It's like literally around the corner.
Oh.
And then we went to some South African place in Van Nuys.
Oh, really? The South African places here?
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow. Because I live there.
Really
I love
good.
South Africa.
Yeah.
Oh, you'll have to tell me where it is. I'll check
I
it
will
out.
Do.
What is it, like a bar or a restaurant?
Yeah, it was a bar.
Oh, okay.
It had the feel of like an Irish pub. And I don't know if that was because it was St. Patrick's Day and everything was green. But it was fun. The food was amazing.
Wow.
Really, really
Sounds
good.
Sounds
good. Yeah.
So you guys had some fun. I totally forgot it was St. Patrick's Day. I had business to take care of, so no time for partying.
But that was my last day of vacation. Today it's back to...
Yeah. I know how, you know, I mean, she came when? On Thursday, right?
She came on Thursday, yeah.
Yeah. And she's leaving today, which is... unfortunate, because I know you had a lot of fun, right?
Yeah, it's really
so cool.
Nice. But I think... Now, I was starting to feel guilty yesterday. Yeah. I was like, okay, Charlotte, like, you've had 4 or 5 days off of, like, the radio was the only thing I was doing. It's like, time to get back and, like, do what you, like, come on.
I know, but it's so much fun to have good friends near you, right?
It is, and I deserved, I think, the few days off.
The few days off,
Need
huh?
to not feel guilty.
Yeah, exactly. Embrace it, you know, what the hell? You deserve it, you know? We don't, I don't think we treat ourselves enough, you know? We often we're hard on ourselves and, you know.
I agree.
Yeah, so you got to bask in your joy and just enjoy it, you know.
Yeah.
But it's too bad because I wanted to say goodbye to her, but you can say it
I will
for
do
me.
For sure. She had a lot of fun coming on.
Yeah.
A lot of fun, yeah.
Yeah, well, she's very, very cool. And Yeah, congratulations on having fun and stuff.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. So I just we have a special guest in the studio. We'll bring him in just a second. I just wanted to bring up, did you hear that a helicopter crashed near the Seattle Space Needle there?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, it's like it crashed right in the middle of the street, and I guess it hit like three cars. The two guys in the helicopter disintegrated. They can't even find them. All they find is like some burnt metal in parts of the tail. And that's what a helicopter is, you know. It's very scary because if the engine stops, that's it. You know, with a plane, you can sort of like try to land it or something, you know.
So the engine stopped?
Yeah. Well, I'm sure that's what happened. I mean, yeah, wow. I don't know how else. I don't think they hit anything. So, yeah, I mean, they have to investigate it. But I figured, no, I'm just talking in general about mm-hmm. helicopters. There's no wings, you know. It's just a moving wing. So
it's true.
Yeah.
So if that breaks down,
exactly. There's screwed. Nothing to glide on.
Yeah.
You know? So that's why, I mean, as fascinated as I've always been with helicopters, I never got on one. And
I've literally been thinking recently because I've heard that the view from the helicopter, if you take one from Van Nuys, is just stunning of LA.
It really is. But you can take one on a regular plane too, you know.
Very true.
Yeah.
Very true.
Yeah. I took flying lessons when I lived in Vegas, and I was just a few hours short of getting my license, and then I moved here and I never really continued. I never pursued it. So
that's
it's
cool.
Wasted. But yeah, and I told many times of the stories where I almost crashed and all that stuff, you know, but I don't feel like going over it again so many times. But flying the plane is amazing. It really is cool. And you can see things with bird's eye view, of course. And but I don't know. It's scary to me now. I don't think I would fly a plane again. You know, only on airliners and stuff.
Right.
But I wouldn't fly in my own plane. I even got like on Groupon. I got like a introductory flight from Santa Monica, and I never used it.
The deals on Groupon are so amazing.
Yeah, you know,
oh,
for $100 or something.
They have
know.
The coolest things on there that you can do. For, yeah. Like. I mean,
nothing.
Three quarters
yeah.
of the price.
That's true.
Or a quarter
yeah.
of the price, sorry.
I know.
Yeah.
I know. So it's cool for restaurants and, mm-hmm. and things like that.
Even
so.
Clothing.
Yeah.
Like clothing on there, they have designer jeans that
wow.
are like 50% of the price.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, that's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know. You know, I mean, I sometimes use it, you know, but I guess it's not as, you know, because I never liked using coupons and stuff, you know. It's sort of like had a stigma for me. And but with these things, you know, I guess it's pretty common now, mm-hmm. you know, to...
I'm a coupon queen.
Yeah.
I love coupons.
Do you really?
Yeah.
I know. They save you a lot of money, you know. I don't know if Ralph still does this, but they used to do like double coupons. And so you'd bring it in and you'd get double the value of the coupon.
That's incredible.
I know.
That's
was
so
cool.
Awesome.
Yeah. But I don't think they do that anymore because they have the membership card and,
yeah,
you know.
The feeling of saving money, I just love it.
Yeah.
I hate feeling ripped off.
I love
off.
Spending money.
I like the idea of saving.
I know. I know. That's why I'm poor because I spend all my money and I don't save any. So, yeah. So, but at any rate, so that was the helicopter crash. And I just feel bad for the people on the ground. You know, I mean, you know, it fell just on a couple of cars in the middle
wow.
of the street.
That's crazy.
Yeah, so you never know where it's going to hit you from, you know?
I know, right? Yeah. I wonder if the people could see it coming.
Who knows? I don't think so.
Gosh.
I don't think so. It just kind of falls on you from the sky,
oh
you know?
Oh, my God.
I know. It's scary
crazy.
Stuff.
Yeah.
I know. And just one thing. This is like, have you ever been to the Grand Canyon?
I have, but I was 10, so
yeah.
I don't remember.
Oh, so it was, yeah. Yeah, I was there like a long time ago, and you know how they have that kind of like an outlook now? It's like all glass, and it's almost like a big patio that you can go out, but it's like it's suspended in midair, so you can see through the floor. It's a glass floor,
freaky.
And you can see everything, right? I would never go on that. There's no way. And the funny thing is that I heard people that go there... they actually get on and they hold on to things and stuff, you know, even though it's safe, you know, but just seeing it, yeah, But I would never go on that. So, but the reason I brought it up is because I guess this man, well, he wasn't there at that place, but he was at the Grand Canyon and he fell off the rim. So 350 feet, died. And it's like a fear. That's a big fear, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't know why people do this kind of stuff.
Are you
know?
Scared of heights?
I guess I, yeah, concluding from what I just said, right? I never was before, you know? I mean, I used to love flying and planes mm-hmm. and everything. But, yeah, I just try not to look down if I don't have to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would be a cool view, though.
Yeah.
It'd be a cool photo to take.
It is,
yeah. Thinking about the photo.
There are good photos and stuff, but, yeah, that's about it. So, anyway, that's that. They're continuing to look for the plane. They're saying that the radar may show that the plane turned around. So at this point, I lost track of this investigation. I'm just waiting for them to find someone.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like, geez, still haven't found this plane.
I know. All right. Well, we have a guest waiting patiently here in the wings, and we're going to bring him in. We have John McCallion in the studio. Welcome to the show, John.
Thanks for having me.
So I did say it right, McCallion?
Yes.
Okay, awesome. And so, John, we were introduced through Josephine, who is a common friend. She'd been on the show before, and she's pretty outgoing. I mean, she wants to
Very
be on
outgoing.
The show. She contacts you and says, I'd like to be on the show. So so she sent John over, and sounded pretty interesting. So we'll just start with explaining why you're here. I see you wrote a book. Right?
Yes.
Tell us about the book.
So the book is a compilation of my experiences.
Uh-huh.
I'm a first-generation college student, so I learned a lot of information, you know, just applying for classes and transferring to, from a community college to San Jose State University. I just learned so much that, you know, I wanted to write a book, and I love writing, uh-huh. so it was a no-brainer for me.
Really? So you always loved writing?
Yes.
Really?
I used to write music in high school.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow. Did you write any? Yeah. Did you write anything at length when you were younger?
Not really. Just very short. So this is the first long written work that I've done.
But you wrote lyrics?
Yeah.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Did you ever have a journal?
No, unfortunately not.
Yeah. I was saying on another show, I was like, I have to start writing a journal.
Yeah, you gotta do it with the journal. You know, and I did one when I was about 19 years old, and I still have it. I don't know where I found it. And I haven't read it in years, but it's so amazing because it takes you back to your state of mind, you know, mm-hmm. way back when.
Yeah.
So it was cool. And I was working, get this, there used to be phone operators. I don't know if you know that, but they don't have them anymore. But they used to have phone operators, and I'm talking about the 80s, so 70s actually. And so I lived in Vegas at the time. I was 19 years old. I was hired as a telephone operator because it was good pay for a 19-year-old, and it was a great job, you know, because I was like. We were like three guys and 400 women, you know. So, John, you can imagine it's a lot of fun, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So he wouldn't say no to that, right? So so there was a lot to talk about and a lot to write about and things like that, you know. And I was burned out on the job, and you'd get pissed at all the stupid people that call in and, you know, things like that. So, so at that point, you know, I said, I got to write something. I got to put it down in writing. Mm-hmm. And I still have it, you know. So I did it for a few months, I think, and that was it. But, you know, I have nothing to hide there. But some people, you know, write really personal stuff in there.
Yeah, and they're like, yeah. Kid. And if their parents look in their bedside table and see the journal, it's like
exactly.
World War III.
Yeah, exactly. Right? You know, so why would you want to document these things? You know, that's what I don't understand. And because, you know, what people don't understand is when you die, all your secret stuff comes out,
right.
You know?
And then there could be a lot of things that you don't want people to know
exactly.
That come out.
Like, I mean, the way I got to thinking about this is I was reading in a magazine that, you know, when you die, your porn collection or your toys or things like that, people are going to find them, you know? So what do you do before you die?
Get so, rid of everything you don't want people to know.
Exactly. Except you never know when you're going to die, you know?
True.
So I always wonder what people find out after someone dies in the family, you know, because you go through their stuff mm-hmm. and everything, you know. Wow. Yeah, everybody's got something to hide, I think. I don't know. So, John, going back, so the book is called what?
It's called Reality Check, a College Student Survival Guide.
Okay, Reality Check. And so when did you write the book?
I wrote the book in July 2012, and it got published on Amazon September 2012. So it took me a few months to write it.
Oh, just a few months.
Yeah, just a few months.
That's cool. Okay. So let's talk a little bit about how you got to writing the book and everything. Are you originally from L.A.?
Yes. I was born in Hollywood. I grew up in Pasadena.
Oh, really?
Very cool. Yep.
Yeah. And so growing up in Hollywood and stuff, it was a little different when you were growing up, right? Except you're not that old, I mean.
Right.
Yeah. But things do change here, right?
All the time.
Yeah. So, I mean, do you like living here?
I do.
Yeah?
I actually live in San Diego now.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I attend San Diego State University.
Oh, wow. So you're continuing to go to school and stuff?
Yes, exactly.
Oh, okay. Okay, cool. So you go up here. Do you have any siblings?
Yeah, I do have one sister.
One
younger
sister. So not a big family or
no.
anything? Okay. And what was your childhood growing up like?
It was very colorful.
Really? In what way?
It was just, I was just, when I was a little kid, I used to do a lot of bad things.
Really?
But, yeah, I used to create a mess. I remember my mom, she was telling me one time where I literally got a chair, I put it in front of the door, I stood up on it, and I unlocked the chain.
Wow.
And I left the house, and then just to get some candy from my neighbor.
Wow.
So I was pretty determined.
Yeah. So you were an uncontrollable kid in a way.
Yeah, right? I was.
Wow. And, but then you grew up and stuff. Were you like that as a teenager as well?
No, I was very shy and reserved, believe it or not.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. So you were always like that in school and stuff?
In high school, yeah. And then during my senior year, I kind of broke out of my shell. I started becoming more social, meeting more people. So
how does that happen? I mean, it's like you're a certain way for years, all your life. How does it suddenly change where you can change your attitude and behavior?
I think you get sick of it, and then you decide that you want to make a change, and then you know, through your actions, you just you turn into a different person in a good way.
Right.
Yeah.
So did you? So you made like a conscious decision to go out of your shell.
Exactly.
Oh, wow. That's pretty cool. I mean, at, 17, 18, that's a pretty pretty tough thing to do,
I think,
you know. But you have to find yourself, and that's what the teenage years are about. You're trying to figure out who you are in society, you know, and things like that. I mean, it's a lifelong journey to figure out who you are.
Absolutely.
But as a kid, especially because you have so much peer pressure, you know.
And, I mean, and especially going into college, we need to pick the college you want to go to.
Right.
And I feel like you somewhat want to follow the friends that you've been with. So it's a big decision to kind of, that shapes you, where you go to school. Because, I mean, it's 4 years, possibly the most important years of your life.
Right. So you went to high school where, in Hollywood?
Pasadena High School.
Oh, in Pasadena.
Yeah.
Okay. And what was that like? Was that pretty cool?
Yeah, it was pretty cool. It was a good school. I just took all my classes and, you know, just did the high school thing.
Yeah. A lot of partying and stuff?
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah. I guess, you know, you can't let everybody party and just sit by. And
right. You just have to have a good balance of everything.
That's
exactly.
True, yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. So so you have a younger sister. Are you guys close?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Even though we have different schedules, sometimes I come home and she's sleeping, and you know, the other way around. But you know, we try to make time for each other, and you know, just do brother and sister bonding.
Awesome. So you guys live in the same place?
Well, when I come here, yeah.
Oh,
but
okay.
In San Diego, I'm all by myself.
I see. So that's right. So you go to college there, you live there, but you also live here.
Exactly.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
How does that work? I mean, how many days a week do you have to go to college?
So I go to school Monday through Wednesday. I have class spread throughout those days. So I come to LA at least once a month, you know, just to, you know, just come hang out with my friends and, you know, spend some time with my family. But to be honest, it feels like you're having two separate lives because, you know, you have a different group of people and, you know, wherever you go to school. And then when you come back here, you know, you have your old friends and your family members. So.
Right. Do you have two girlfriends too? Each one? I would.
Wait, so you went to San Diego. You go to San Diego.
I currently attend San Diego State.
Is this your second degree or is it your first degree?
Technically, it is my second degree because I earned an associate's degree in economics from LA Valley College. So I basically transferred my units to San Diego State University. So now I'm majoring in business marketing.
Awesome. Now, right after high school, did you go to college?
No, I when I was 18, my father is self-employed, and I decided to work with him and just run his business. So I did that for a few years, and I decided that I want to go to college and I want to have a degree.
Yeah.
So that's when I started attending LA Valley College.
What kind of a business was it?
He is a electric contractor.
Oh, okay. So you got involved in the business?
Exactly, yeah. Okay. A family business.
Okay. But then you realized, hey, I want more than just
exactly.
this, right?
Yep.
Yeah. So you're like first generation, right?
Absolutely.
Your
yep.
parents are like old school
exactly.
and things like that.
Exactly.
I know. Yeah. The same with me. You know, in my entire family, even like, the expanded family, I was the first one to go to college, in the family.
Very cool.
So, yeah.
Me too.
So it's a good feeling. You're starting sort of like a tradition for the family.
Right.
Yeah. And, were you raised knowing that school is important and things like that? I mean, or did your dad want you to work with him?
In the family growing up, school is obviously very important. But he also, like you say, he was old school. So he wanted me to take over the family business.
Right.
So, that's how I got involved. And then, I realized that everyone was going to college and it was something that you really need nowadays.
That's true.
A couple of decades ago, you can get a job without a college degree, but now, they won't even look at your application.
Right.
So it's a requirement.
I think it definitely in America, a lot more people go to college
right.
than
really?
In England. I mean, I was the first one to graduate because I think some people in my family went, but I think they quit.
Oh, okay.
But I was the first person in my family to graduate, and that was only last year.
Wow.
And I just don't think it's as popular in England. I don't think if I'd have stayed in England, I don't think I would have gone
really?
To university.
So
no.
good for you, yeah. No, there's a lot of focus on it here, and uh-huh. I think it's a good thing, even if
Definitely.
You're not doing it for a career, I have a bachelor's degree. I'm like so tempted to go back and get a master's or something. It's something that I enjoy and all that stuff. So because it really enriches your life, don't you think, John?
Absolutely, yeah. It's not just the degree, but it's the experience,
right? And you learn new things,
right.
I mean, you take like liberal arts and stuff,
right.
For the first time I was exposed to like fine arts and things like that in college, and I learned to like it, when you understand it
exactly, and it yeah. broadens your knowledge. And it's interesting, I took for granted what I learned in college, and I
yeah.
didn't listen, and in languages I was like, I don't need to know this, but I really wish I had listened
yeah.
more. Like, it would be cool to be able to speak Spanish and French,
right? And that's why I say, it's not necessarily a good thing in my opinion to go to college right after high school, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because you've had 12 years of school, you want a break,
burnt out.
Exactly. And college should be something that you go to because you want to be there. And that's why I like going to college, because people there are not like doing anybody a favor. They're there because they want to be there.
Mm-hmm.
So most of them are serious about school and everything. But the kids that come right out of high school, yeah, they're into the fraternity and sorority and the partying and all that stuff. You don't really focus on the school, right?
Right.
So at what age did you decide to go back to school?
I decided to go back when I was 22.
22. Okay. So
yeah,
you had a little break.
Yeah.
You worked with the family business and everything.
Right. I also, about 3 years later, or when I was 21, I started getting to retail. So Best Buy, U.S. Bank. I worked at a Toyota dealership in Santa Monica.
Really? Were you trying to sell cars and stuff?
Yeah, I did.
How
yeah.
did that go?
It was tough.
Yeah, it is tough. Huh? I tried that for a year, man.
Yeah.
Forget about it. And you know what? And I'm usually like a... If something doesn't happen right away, I quit, because I don't have time for it. But the interesting thing is, of all the people that trained when I started, everybody had left until before me. And I was there for a year. And there were about 10, 12 people that left already. So I was proud of myself for at least sticking it out. But it's embarrassing when you're not a good salesman, because they display everything on the wall, everybody, how many cars they've sold so far this month. And people sit with like 30, 35 cars and you're sitting with two. And
oh
it's, pretty, it's pretty depressing.
Yeah, I don't think I would do well under commission.
No. Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. So it doesn't really help your self-confidence when, you don't sell a lot of cars,
yeah.
right?
Right.
So you were selling what, Toyotas, did you say?
Yeah.
Volkswagen.
No, Toyota.
Toyota.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I know what that is. That's right there on Lincoln, right?
Yeah, Santa Monica and Lincoln. It's near the 3rd Street Promenade.
Right, yeah. I used to, sometimes I'd go to that Arby's across the street.
Right.
I love Arby's. Some people hate it, but
the
I love
curly
Arby's.
Fries, heart
attack. The roast beef, you know, more meat
the
they put in
the curly fries.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
That's up.
I love fast food.
So, anyway, so that's why I know where Toyota of Santa Monica. And I used to live in Santa Monica, too, so it's a cool place there. So you went to Valley College, which is essentially down the street from
right here.
Right
here, yeah, exactly.
And so what was that like? I mean, you hadn't been in school for a few years. Mm-hmm. You started going back. Was it cool in the beginning for you?
Yeah, it was really good because it was a good feeling. I was proud of myself for going back to school.
Right.
And it's interesting because I feel like whoever goes to a community college actually more serious than someone that goes to a four-year college.
Really? For the same reason that they don't go there to party and things
yeah,
like
exactly,
that?
Because yeah, exactly, because community colleges, you know, they don't have dorms or anything.
Right.
So it's basically a commuter school. And so whoever goes there wants to be there.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
And they, you know, they want to make a change in their life.
Right. And sometimes it's easier to get started in college by going to a community college, right? As far as for you, like not to get like a shock or something, because college is very different from high school.
It is.
You know. And so that's why I say, again, take a year or two a break and then go back. So so you took some of what, the electives and everything in school and some of the basic things you needed?
To be honest, I mixed it up. So my first semester, I took a few general ed classes, and then my second semester, I took 9 classes. It was a total of 32 units.
Wow.
Yeah.
In one semester?
Yeah, and I'm still alive.
Yeah. And do you work, too, at the same time?
No, I did not work.
You did not work at the time?
Yeah,
thankfully.
Yeah, otherwise there's no way you could
do it.
Yeah. How many units would you average a semester?
Like 12.
12?
Yeah, 12 is average.
Yeah. That's what, like 4 classes, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. So you took 9 classes?
Yeah.
Wow.
I couldn't even imagine doing that.
I know.
How did you keep on top of that? I feel like my brain would have no idea which class I was sitting in.
Yeah.
It was all about time management. I went to school 6 days a week, Monday through Saturday.
Wow.
Wow,
that's determination.
Cool.
What's,
it is.
What was your major?
Dedication.
What is your major?
Well, back then it was economics. Well, technically I was taking business classes, but at Valley College they like to call it economics. Uh-huh. So I was taking like economics 1, business law, accounting, statistics,
right,
things like that.
So
yeah,
hard classes too.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah. It's not easy.
You have to have the patience for it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, did you never want to major in writing or journalism?
I did, but I've always had a passion for business.
Yeah.
So I kind of knew what I wanted before going to school.
Right. And it's a lot more useful, you know.
Exactly.
I mean, writing, you don't really have to go to college for it. You know, it's talent for the most part. Although there's plenty to learn, I admit. But at the same time, and you know, it's hard to make a living from writing, you know, unless you hit it big. But then again, in everything, in acting, in modeling, in singing, there's no money in it unless you make it big, you know.
Definitely.
So it's a creative thing. But so you do have the creative side, but you also have your business side, your more analytical side, and so forth.
Exactly.
So after Valley College, you got your associate degree then.
Right.
And how many schools did you apply to at that point?
I applied for 4 schools, Cal State LA, Long Beach, Fullerton, and San Diego State.
Okay. How come not CSUN here, Cal State Northridge?
I knew a lot of people that went there, and I wanted to change.
Okay.
So believe it or not, but besides San Diego State, the only school that accepted me was Cal State LA, so I got rejected from Fullerton and
really?
Long Beach.
Really?
Yeah.
Whoa. Why is that?
I don't know. It's because business major, or it's impacted, you know, because of the budget cuts. So there's a lot of students applying, and usually they like to accept students in that area.
Right. Okay.
So,
that makes sense. But I mean, being accepted by San Diego State is pretty good.
It's
right?
A tough school. Yeah. Tough school. Very tough school to get into.
To get into. Yeah. I think my son is trying to get in right now. I don't know if he got I don't think he got an answer yet, but. He wants to go. It's cool because you get to go away, but yet you're not too far from home, right?
Yeah, it's only a couple-hour drive.
Yeah, it's not like going back east, and then it's like once, twice a year you get to see family.
Right. Well, being from England.
Yeah, exactly.
Never going home.
So you must have been excited being accepted into San Diego.
Yeah, almost did backflips.
Really? Wow.
That's cool.
And did you have good SATs and stuff? I mean, after
I, I never took the SAT.
Never took them, no. Huh? And you see, that's the thing, that the same thing that happened to me. I mean, I was accepted to college, never were asked for them.
Right.
So how did that, does that happen? I mean, didn't you feel like automatically you have to take the SAT, or you were just waiting for the school to ask for it?
Yeah, I was waiting for the school to ask for it. I think the SATs are required if you're transferring directly from high school to a four-year college. But okay. If you go to a community college, you've already done more than half of your classes, so you don't really need to take the SAT.
So that's what it is.
Exactly.
Okay, gotcha.
That's interesting.
Yeah, I didn't realize that. So that's why it's easier to get started.
Right.
And then you don't have to take the SATs, right?
No.
If you go to college.
No.
Wow, that's pretty cool. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So there you go. You see, one reason to get your book and everything. Yeah. So when did you started San Diego State? How long have you been there now?
I transferred the last semester, so I've been there for about 6-7 months now.
Oh, cool. And so do you work there too, or you only
not at the
college?
Moment I'm just focusing on school and promoting my book, and I'm also writing a second book. So
really?
Yes.
So how do you sustain yourself without working?
Just a mix of financial aid and student loans.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow. So that enables you to pay the bills and everything?
Exactly.
Too? Wow.
I just read something on your website, though, that really? Said that you should pay your bills while you're in school.
Definitely.
Are you doing that?
I will start.
You see, yeah, do as I say, not as I do, right? No, but this is cool. It's always easier to give advice.
Right.
I think some of the best psychologists have really major problems, you know. They can solve other people's problems, but they can't solve their own.
That's totally me. I give the best advice, and I'm terrible at taking it. Yeah. Terrible.
Truthfully, I am. I will start applying for jobs soon.
Yeah, so well, you don't have soon. A choice. Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
You know? How many years do you have? 2 years in San Diego to do still?
About a year.
A year?
Yeah.
Yeah, because you've already been there for
right.
a while. Now, they say that, you know, I mean, obviously, you know, bachelor's degree is cool, but this is like the minimum you need today, right?
Right, exactly.
Are you planning to go on for another degree?
Yeah, I might go for my master's, get an MBA.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be cool, you see? And that was my original plan. I mean, and I went back to college actually later on. I went for about a year. I lived in Las Vegas. I went to UNLV right after high school. But that was like the 70s. We were getting high all the time. I couldn't even pass the entrance exam, the math exam and stuff, you know.
It's just a lot of work. Like, schooling is a lot of work in America. To do, I mean, to go to med school and law school, you have to go to college first. And
right.
The system's a lot different in England. Mm. I don't think I could do like 10 years of college.
Yeah, that's a lot of years.
It's like a lot of... My friend's boyfriend is going to be in architecture, and he's 29 and still in school.
Wow.
It's just like, oh, my God.
But you're also more like the creative type, right? I mean,
yeah.
You don't like office work.
No, I'm not really. Like, even just at school, sitting at a desk. And
yeah, not for you.
No.
That's what happens to creative people. But business is definitely the way to go. So, so I tried, you know, for a year. And it didn't work. Then I moved here, and I went to Pierce College, also another community college here. And that was some of the best time in school that I remember, you know. So, I mean, don't – some people just discount community colleges as, oh, that's not a big deal, you know, it's not this, it's not that. But I think it's a great way to get started in college, you know.
Absolutely.
And I think you hit the nail on the head when you said that people that go there want to be there.
Mm-hmm.
When it's college, people get caught up in Greek life and partying and all that, and it just takes over.
Right.
That's true. That's true. And you get to make new friends and that, and people that are just as ambitious.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, so I came back here. I went for a couple of years, and then I decided that I'm going to go into the job market and everything. We, too, had a family business, so I joined my family. And but I felt, I want to go to college. I want to do something else. And it helped me tremendously. You know, I ended up going to CSUN, Cal State Northridge, and which is a pretty good school for business too, you know. And so going there, I went back when I was like 26 years old, 26, 27. So at that point, I was taking school seriously, mm-hmm. you know. And I also wanted to go for an MBA at UCLA. So I figured that I better do well in college, you know. Better do well because... you know, it's hard to get into these business schools. You know, it's not easy. They only take like 500-600, I think, per year or something, you know. So it's pretty competitive, and especially with the good schools. So I was going to go for an MBA. So I decided that now that I'm back in college and I'm older, I'm also more mature, and I'm going to make sure that I get, like, I do excellent. There's like no room for error at all.
Right.
So I ended up graduating with like straight A's, you know, with being like receiving honors and things like that,
awesome.
You know, like cum laude or something. So, yeah, so I was proud of myself, you know, knowing that, you know, if you apply yourself, you can do it, you know. And I can say that even when you're younger, if you just have your goals set for you, you can do it too, right?
Right, absolutely.
Yeah, you just have to really have the patience and to have the understanding that you're investing in yourself, you know.
Yeah.
And I remember when my thought was when I was 26, I thought, you know, it's another 3 years in college and stuff. You know, I don't have the time and all that. But then I thought, you know what? I have to go through those 3 years in my life anyway. So I could choose to do something else and in 3 years from now have no degree. Or, you know, in 3 years from now I could have a degree, you know.
Something to show for your 3 years.
Exactly, you know. And I was glad I did, you know. The funny thing was that the last semester I discovered something really cool and I decided to open my own business. So I never pursued my MBA. I kind of wish I had, but I was also happy that I started the business, you know, because there was the opportunity there. And I started a computer animation company. And it was just amazing, you know. And all that just sort of like set the rest of my life for me when I got future jobs and gigs and things like that. You know, I was able to do computer graphics and all that. So I got a lot of interesting jobs. But I got to tell you that I'm really grateful. So my degree never really helped me get a job, you know. That's what I'm saying, bottom line. But I would never not get a college education.
Right.
You know, I just think that it really helps you as a human being, you know.
Definitely.
So are you
wanting to use your major as something to do with your future, or are you wanting to be a writer and keep writing more books?
To be honest, I don't know. That's probably not a good thing because I should know by now.
Yeah, but that's okay. I mean, that's what college is about. You never know, you know. And that's the thing, like with me, it was only the last semester that totally changed my plans. You know, I totally planned on going to UCLA. But at the same time, you know, you have things that come up all the time, and you never know if there's an opportunity. You got to take it.
Right.
But so you're considering going for an MBA, right?
Right.
Have you thought of what schools you want to go to for that?
I might stay at San Diego State University because they actually have a really good business graduate program. I think it's top 20 in the world. Yeah.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah. Wow, that's pretty cool. And so you got used to being in San Diego. You obviously made new friends and stuff there.
Yeah, a lot of new friends.
Yeah.
It was really hard at first because when I moved there, I didn't know anyone, and I knew a lot of people in L.A., so it was really hard adjusting.
Yeah.
I didn't know what to do with myself, but now I have a large group of friends, so it's very cool.
Yeah, awesome, awesome. So let's talk a little bit about the book. At what point in – so you were still going to college when you wrote the book?
Yeah, I was at L.A. Violet College when I wrote the book.
Right. And so what triggered this? I mean, you started going to school. What, did you realize that there's things people need to know that they don't know about in college?
Yeah, exactly. There are a lot of things that I felt that they need to know and they didn't. I feel that my generation is not ready for the real world. And, you know, they're very distracted by social media.
Right.
So I kind of wanted to write the book as a wake-up call for them. You know, I wanted to bring a lot of stuff to their attention, you know, how the job market works, you know, just basically what I've learned in my life, and I wanted to share it with them.
Yeah. Well, we're talking to John McCallion. You guys can follow johnmccallion.com, and the book is Reality Check, College Student Survival Guide. So it took you a few months to write it?
Yeah, about a few months to write it, design the cover and proofread everything.
Right. Did you have someone proofread for you
and edit it? I did, yeah.
Yeah, you have to, right?
Exactly.
I mean, you can't, you know, I consider myself like a really good writer, and I am, But still, if I wrote a book, I would let somebody else, you know, read through it. And because sometimes you just don't check your, I mean, you don't catch your mistakes.
Well, it's not even that. It's just really hard to proofread your own work because, you know, you wrote it and you're so used to seeing it. You know, you have to have someone from the outside looking in, so to speak. Right. So
did you use a professional or just gave someone you knew?
Well, one of my community college professors, she reads a lot and she edits a lot, too. So. You know, she was very helpful and, you know, we, it was a good experience and, you know, she helped me out a lot.
That's cool. Yeah. It's hard to write a book by yourself. I mean, you have to have help from people, I think, you know, it's a major undertaking, but, I'm amazed because, you know, to decide to write a book is not an easy thing, right?
And it didn't take you long.
Right.
Right. That's, and you weren't going to school at the time too.
Yeah.
No, I was not. No? I was on summer break.
Oh, okay.
So that's how I was able to write it quickly. But I knew that I only had 3 months to write it and, you know, I was able to articulate my thoughts.
Right.
So it just, you know, everything went by really quickly.
Did you write every day or was
it was every day, every day, every night. I usually like to work at night, you know, when the house is quiet, so that way I get to think and I'm able to write.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I see that you've written some stuff like What's the Word? Where did that appear?
What's the Word magazine is it's my online magazine.
Okay.
So that helps entrepreneurs gain recognition on the internet. Because the problem is that, you know, there are a lot of entrepreneurs with great ideas, but a lot of people don't hear about them or know about them. So what they can do is contact us through social media, and if they have a good business idea, you know, we'll write an article for them or interview them and put it on the site for them, you know, and they can use that to promote themselves through social media.
Oh, that's cool. So how can they find you there?
They can just contact me at John McKillian on Twitter.
Oh, okay. And so you don't have a website for that though, right?
There is a website. It's called What's the Word Mag.
What's the word?
Mag.com.
Okay, so that's yours.
Exactly.
That's where you write. So it's like a blog or something.
Right, yeah. Very similar to a blog.
Awesome.
Very cool. So you have the book and the website.
Exactly.
Do you have anything anywhere else that you write?
Well, the second book's coming up, so I guess you can add that to the list, but that's about it.
What's the second book about?
The second book is about immigrants coming to the U.S. to chase the American dream and how they, you know.
That's me.
Exactly.
That's
her. I might be able
that's
to interview
me too,
for my
actually.
Book.
It's all of us, yeah. And so, nobody was born here, it seems.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So, you know, it's some of the challenges they face, you know, when they start a small business and, you know, just getting used to the American culture, you know, and how small businesses are struggling to keep their doors open, you know, because right now e-commerce is, you know, it's a huge thing.
Right.
Did you have to do a lot of research about that to find out how people do deal with that? Because you are from America.
Right, yeah. I have a lot of friends are immigrants, so you know I've been talking to them and you know just kind of asking what their experience is like, you know, what are some of the challenges they're facing, so you know it gives me a good feel for it.
Okay. Yeah. Cool. And are your parents immigrants too?
Yes, they are. They're from Lebanon.
Oh, I see. Okay, so that's why you're familiar with this.
Exactly.
I mean,
yeah,
with the experience.
Exactly.
Awesome. And when did they come out here?
They came here I believe it was in the '80s.
In the 80s.
Late 70s, early 80s.
When Lebanon was shredded to pieces.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
Wow. It used to be such a beautiful place, right? It was like the French Riviera of the Middle East or something, you know, but that was a long time ago. So let's discuss the book a little bit.
Sure.
Tell us how the book is structured. What can people expect to find in it?
The great thing about this book is that it's written in a conversational style, so to speak. So when you read it, it feels like someone's talking to you rather than reading a book. And, you know, like including myself, college students hate to read.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, well, we hate to read the school.
Because there's so much of it.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, yeah, and it's just, you know, it's the books we read in school are very monotone, you know, it's very boring. So this is actually, you know, it's very refreshing. So, you know, when they read it, it doesn't feel like they're being forced to read, and they're able to learn and gain the knowledge they need to succeed.
Yeah.
Wow.
Wow. So what are some of the things, like, for example, I mean, what are the important things? What is it that, let's say, I mean, there's some things that you felt going to college that, hey, I should write a book about this.
Right.
What are some of those things that people should really know and maybe they don't know about college?
One of the biggest things is that when they're in college, they don't work. And so when they get out of college, they think they're going to land their dream job. Unfortunately, in most cases, it doesn't work that way.
Right.
You know, employers want some type of work experience. So, you know, it's a really good idea to pick up an internship while you're in school, or, you know, just something that helps you gain experience, you know, for your work or for your field of study. So, you know, if you want to become a registered nurse, you know, go do an internship at a hospital, see what it's like.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. And I totally agree with you. And so are there different sections of the book? Because there is the loan part.
Right.
Why you should pay off your loans? Or
yeah, there are different chapters. So like the first chapter is social media, and then the loan section, I think it was chapter 4.
Mm-hmm. That's okay.
Okay, cool. Yeah.
But do you find that most people get loans, or because I guess even families where they have some money,
right,
they don't necessarily help the kids with college expenses, right?
It varies. Usually for first-generation college students, they have to get loans because, you know, their parents didn't really go to college, and, you know, they're not – I mean, they know of the expenses, but they don't know how the whole system works. Right. But, you know, college students who, you know, if they're second or third generation, usually their parents have, you know, a college savings fund set up. You know, so by the time they're in school, they already have, you know, a lot of money.
That would be nice.
Exactly, yeah.
That would be nice, very. Yeah. It was always a good idea in my family. It never happens. Right. I had to pay my own way.
It's a thought that counts.
Yeah. But, you know, also... you know, I think that you don't always have to go away to college, right?
I mean,
you can stay living at home, and then you don't have to work as hard. Mm-hmm. You can focus more on school, right. You know. That's what my kids are doing right now. And although they started working as well, but I can see where if you can still live at home, get maybe a part-time job to pay some of your bills and stuff, but you don't have the pressure of rent and all these things, you know. So that's what I'm saying. You know, when I went back to college, I didn't have a lot of money, and I thought, there's no way I'm going to start taking loans if I don't have to, you know, because the worst thing you can do is borrow money. You know, right?
I mean, right, absolutely.
I mean, John, the thing is, you don't have a choice in college sometimes,
exactly.
And you borrow it, but it's always better if you don't have to,
mm-hmm.
You know. So I just went to school while I worked, and I still went full time. I did both, but that's the thing is that, you know, I mean, you work hard for a few years, but then you've taken care of the basics.
Yeah.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And today, if you don't have a degree, I mean, bachelor's degree it's only admission to walk inside the door. That's
exactly.
Pretty much it. You know, otherwise they won't even look at you or anything.
Right.
So if you're hoping to get any decent, respectable job, you need at least a bachelor's degree.
Absolutely.
Otherwise you do menial work. You know, mm-hmm. Nobody's going to take you. Although I think most employers don't even check your degree or anything, you know.
They some just, do verify.
Do they verify
yeah.
the college degrees?
Yeah, some
wow.
of them do.
Wow.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I didn't either. You
not
know,
that I'm lying thought... about my degree. But...
No, we know where you've been in your 4 years. Swimming.
I went to Florida
yeah.
State.
Yeah, nice. it's verified that she went to college.
But in Florida, I know there's, I can't think what it's called right now, but if you get certain grades... You get kind of, I think it's the state that pays for it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like, if you have a 4.0 coming out of college,
oh, wow.
You qualify for a certain amount of it's not a scholarship,
like a grant
but
or
yeah,
something?
Yeah. Okay. And then if you have a 3.6 and then a 3.4.
Nice.
But so they don't have that in California?
No, I don't think so. Not that I know of.
California's in big trouble.
But, yeah. But it would be a great incentive for people, I think.
Well, yeah, because that makes. I mean, because I know all of my friends were on that, and if you didn't get a certain grade per semester, you were cut.
Yeah.
So they had an incentive, and their parents were like, okay, you need this. Like,
right.
You need to get these grades, you
right.
know?
Wow.
So I thought that was it's a good way to motivate people to want to do decent because they need the money.
Yeah, absolutely, you know? But it's a good idea to talk about. So you do talk about in the book about working while you go to school and things like that.
Definitely,
too?
Yeah.
Awesome.
So one of the other things that I wrote about was choosing the correct major, because I feel that some or a lot of college students they choose majors based on what their parents want them to do or what their friends do. So I know being a registered nurse is one of them. a lot of people, you know, they want to become a registered nurse because it's a well-paying job, but they don't realize that it's not really for them until after they graduate, you know, and by then, you know, they're, you know, right, they're stuck with all those loans, so.
Yeah, there's so many people that go to, like, law school and then they change their mind.
Exactly.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. I feel like everyone, if they don't know what they want to do out of college, they're just like, I'll go to law school.
Yeah, and then and then if they get a degree, then they go in for a year or two and then they go, it's not for me.
Yeah.
You know, so you're right. I mean, I think the most important thing, and I know this is counterintuitive to what our parents always told us, because I know my parents always said, well, it's work. You're not supposed to enjoy it, you know. And but that's not true. I think especially in today's world, you need to hold your attention. You need to be able to be compensated well.
Yeah.
And, you know, in order to do that, you got to do something you love. You got to be able to get up in the morning and look forward to going to work.
For sure.
And if you're not, it's not worth anything in the world because you'll pay your bills, but you'll be a miserable person.
Life's too short.
Yeah. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Well, John McCallion, everybody go and check out his website. Can you spell it for us?
So absolutely. It's www.johnmicallian.com.
Okay, sounds good. You guys can find out more about the book. The book is Reality Check, a College Student Survival Guide. And you can find out everything about it on the website. Also, plug your What's the Word magazine.
Right. It's whatsthewordmag.com.
Whatsthewordmag.com. Go ahead, check it out. And so you write more than about college on that blog?
Yeah, those are the articles are about more about entrepreneurship and the American dream.
Okay, sounds good. Well, you're very inspiring, man.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
It's really cool that you decided to help people out and share your experiences with other people. So you can save him some trouble in the future. You
exactly.
Know? And so your next book, when is that coming out?
In a few months.
Really? You're already writing it now, right?
Yeah.
And is that like a sequel or is it something totally different?
No, it's just, well, it's completely different from my first book.
Right.
So it's a bit of a challenge, but.
What's the second book going to be about?
It's about the immigrants.
Sorry. No, I totally like spaced out on it. Okay. So, and do you have a title for it yet?
Yes, I do.
Okay, cool. Well, you don't want to give it yet.
Yeah, exactly.
So.
Not yet.
Okay, sounds good. Well, we'll be looking forward to it. And when it comes out, please, you're welcome back on the show.
Absolutely. Thank you.
And we'll share. We can talk about immigrants and all that stuff, too.
Sounds good.
You're full of information. It's awesome.
Thank you very much.
Okay, John McCallion, everybody, check him out. And Sarah Ashley, let's say goodbye to her. Wish her a safe trip back home. And in case she's listening, she's probably still sleeping, snoring or something, 11 o'clock in the morning.
The vacation life.
Yeah, there you go. All right, Charlotte, thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, everybody, for listening, and we'll see you tomorrow.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Charlotte right here on LA Talk Radio.